In the 2020 editions, several changes were made to matters common to all of the civil volumes, as well as others that affected a more limited subset of the volumes. And so here are just a couple of quick highlights of some of the cross-volume changes. First, the Supreme Court amended Rule 277 a little bit. So the civil volumes have revised the comments on broad form submissions. They have revised the discussion of preservation of error. I encourage you to go ahead and review that. You can find it in the Green Book at 32.1, in the Red Book at 86.1, in the Blue Book at 116.1, in the Yellow Book at 251.1, and in the Purple Book at 314.1. So go check that out. Not huge changes, but you'll want to be make sure you're up to date on the latest of what the PJCs say about preservation of error. Third, and this one really is more focused on negligence, but since 2003, when legislature passed its major tort reform package, the negligence volume has included several alternative questions and instructions for cases governed by pre-2003 law. Because the statute of limitations for claims by minors is told until they reach 18, it was possible even recently that a party injured before 2003 might still be able to assert claims governed by pre-2003 law. But now that 18 years have passed, the need for including questions, instructions on pre-2003 law has diminished to such a negligible level that the negligence committee decided to remove most of the questions and instructions for pre-2003 injuries throughout the volume. So that's one change that you'll see there. Some more highlights. Several of the volumes published substantial rewrites of certain charges or whole chapters. It would take too much time to go through line by line all of those changes. So I'm just going to highlight them for you. First of all, the business committee substantially revised Chapter 108, which addresses the doctrine of piercing the corporate veil. The committee reorganized the chapter to better differentiate between situations in which piercing is governed by statute and situations in which it is governed by the common law. In alignment with this framework, Chapter 108 now includes instructions for either statutory or common law piercing under each charge. The revised chapter also updates the commentary throughout. The business committee also revised the chapter on defamation, business disparagement, and invasion of privacy, Chapter 110. It revised the chapter to improve consistency and clarity across the comments and reflect new case law, particularly the Supreme Court's decision in Dallas Morning News versus Tatum from 2018. It also led them to deleting former charges 110.9 through 110.14. Next, the negligence malpractice committees revised the exclusionary instructions and comments for other conditions and for a pre-existing condition that is aggravated. So in the negligence volume, those were previously found at 28.8 and 28.9, but were renumbered to 28.8 A and 28.8B. The corresponding charges in the malpractice volume are now found at 80.7A and 80.7B. They also included a third charge related to the so-called eggshell claim, which I will turn to in a few minutes. Next, the malpractice committee revised 51.18, which addresses emergency care, to reflect new legislation clarifying when the willful and wanton standard applies. The malpractice committee also renamed 51.18 as, quote, emergency care and emergency medical care, and split it into two subparts. First subpart is 51.18A, called, quote, emergency care, good Samaritan, and 51.18B is called emergency medical care. Now, turning to the one that's probably most consequential to all of our attendees, all of the civil volumes have revised the charge on attorney's fees. As you know, in 2019, the Supreme Court handed down the decision in Worms Venture versus UTSW DVA Healthcare LLP, saying what was pretty apparent from L. Apple One, that the Lodestar method is the way to prove up attorney's fees when the question of reasonable necessity of attorney's fees is presented. So the Oversight Committee formed a cross-volume subcommittee to review the question and instruction on attorney's fees and propose any changes as necessary. From time to time, when we have some of these cross-volume issues come up, the Oversight Committee will form this ad hoc subcommittee that will include members from each volume that could be affected by the issue, plus a couple members from the Oversight Committee to dive into it, look at it, see if they can come up with consensus on how to charge this across volumes, take it to the various affected volumes, take it to the Oversight Committee, and do the process that way. And so that's one, the attorney's fees is one of the ones where we did that. The subcommittee and the civil volumes ultimately revised the question, instruction, and comments on attorney's fees.